Gospel of John, chapter 3, first 17 verses. Bible says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night, and he said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' Reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth.'" This is kind of disconnect. "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." Let's get to the real deal stuff here, Nicodemus. "How can a man be born again when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "And surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it's coming from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" asked Nicodemus. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you don't understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." That's good news right there. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you very much. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Lord, we thank you that there is a message of salvation that comes through your testimony, your witness, and your work on the cross. Lord, I thank you that we can gather and celebrate the good news of the Bible, the good news of the kingdom of God, the good news that we can each grab on to the kingdom and be transformed in our daily situation. The pain of our lives, we left behind as we grab on to you. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
All right, last week, I talked to you about the Super 88. And there was a groan that went out from this room. And it was like my wife said, "You know what? You're just going to have to give up talking about that car because it's just not selling anymore." See, people are tired of bad news. Can I get a witness on that? And today we come with a message of the cross, the message of our Lord, the message of the kingdom, and it is a message of good news. Amen? And I have good news today because the Super 88 is no longer in my garage. It is, in fact, in the parking lot today.
Right.
Amen? We'll let you know, too. Rides, 25 cents after church, will be given for all those who would like to try. All right. Good news. Kingdom of God. Kingdom living. We are talking about the church, and we've been talking about the church since the beginning of the year. And we've talked about our purpose. Last week I talked about our purpose, finding fullness in Christ. That as you come to this church, that you would find fullness in your life. Fullness in your relationship with him, with one another, and how God made you. Amen. To fulfill that purpose, we have four principles. And we talked about those last month. We depend on God. We rely upon the Lord. We want you to come into that relationship where you can rely upon the Lord. We desire the presence of God. It is our hope. It is my hope and the hope of the staff that you have already, in our worship time, in the giving times Pastor Carlos talked about, have already experienced the presence of God.
Amen.
You come near and you go, "Whoa, this is the best."
Amen.
Our desire is that every service you attend, you would experience the presence of God. be transformed. And we develop people. The more you come, the more you get to know the Lord, the more you see how people are working that out, the better you get. And the longer you're here, the better you're going to look. You're going to see changes. We develop people, and we display God's love. That when you come, and it shouldn't just be at the greeting time. Hello, 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 hello. All over the place. Amen. You should feel the love of the Lord in this place.
Amen?
Amen? All right, so we have purpose, principles. In this month, we've been talking about our processes. Processes of the church. And I hope I'm not boring you here. I'm just kind of reviewing what we've been doing. Fellowship. Church is a place to connect. Discipleship, the church is a place to grow. Ministry, church is a place to shine. And today we'll talk about evangelism. The church is a place for impact. We've been using the picture of a tree to illustrate this. That as you come to the Lord, it's like a trunk. And the church is a place to connect. And that you can grab onto God and you can grab onto the people around you and say, how does this work? As you are here, you will be discipled. And it's like leaves and branches growing on the tree. And you will grow and grow up in the things of God. As you grow up, you will begin to do ministry. Now, we talked about the flowers last week. That as you grow in the Lord and you begin to invest in the kingdom and do things, you begin to shine and the church begins to shine. The church is a place to shine. The other aspect we're talking about with the same picture is fruit. Now, fruit is what we're after. Amen? And, I mean, trunk is good. Leaves, I love, you know, shade. Shade is good. Flowers, my mom has flowers all over her yard. It peps the place up. But if I'm going to grow a tree, I want fruit. Got up this morning, I had an apple. Went to bed last night, Lisa got some tangerines. I like fruits. And fruit is the result of our maturity in the kingdom of God. The impact that we would have. God raises you up for fruit. And God raises you up for impact. He gives us a message. Church is a place to connect, grow, shine, and have impact. Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And the picture of that is the church pushing back the gates of hell. And that picture is also the church pushing forth the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And as we push forth that kingdom, we will have impact. The church is a place for impact. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's take a look. I'm telling you, Pastor Carlos, I don't have any ladies in here today. All right, our impact comes from our message, all right? Message of the cross. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. We're going through the text. Turn me down just a little bit back there, JJ. I'm reading just a touch. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. But what does it say? This is Paul talking to the church in Rome. He's quoting from Deuteronomy. And taking it and applying it with a New Testament message. What does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is good news. Amen? All right, let's keep going. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Our message comes from heaven. We're not making this stuff up. Jesus came that we could get a clearer picture of it, and that is the picture that we declare to those around us. And it is that message that will bring salvation to your soul. It is when you grab on to that message that you are saved. Many of you, most of you in this room, have grabbed on to that message and were transformed in your very existence. It goes down into your heart. When you grab on, that message is in your heart, and then it begins to spring forth on your lips because God has called you to have impact. And so he transformed your heart, and that message begins to come out. Amen? Amen? Amen. And it's a message of hope, and it's a message of trust. Once you grab onto the kingdom, it becomes part of you. Way down deep, you grab onto that message. Way down deep, it transforms you. Way down deep, there's a message. Jesus is Lord. In Deuteronomy, where Paul is looking, there is the great Shema of Israel, the Lord our God. Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. The Lord our God is one. And so there was a declaration in the New Testament church that went beyond that statement. Jesus is Lord. And Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If the kingdom comes near to you and you grab on, it is not because of your grip, it is because of the work of the Lord that he started in you. And so as we talk about the good news and as we talk about evangelism, the key is, who do you know that is hurting enough to reach out and grab onto the kingdom? Because it was my pain in my life that caused me to grab on. Amen? How many of you can say amen to that? And see, there's people that are around us that are in pain, that are struggling. Who do you know that is hurting bad enough to reach out? Now, this word is full of promises that God answers prayer. Amen? He says, my ears listen to the prayers of righteous, my eyes are focused upon them. But it also says to the unfaithful that God turns his back on their prayer, except for one. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. That's a good news right there. Let's keep on going. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. How then can they call upon the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one on whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And our faith needs a target. Lots of people believe in something, but it's the wrong thing. The devil comes with false gospels and false Christs and false message and false hope. And there's people who grab on and are destroyed in their faith. The true gospel, the gospel that we can be impacted by, has impact when you believe and when we grab on. That pain causes us to reach out and to seek out a truth. Jesus is Lord. For that message to get out, it needs a messenger. You're that messenger. And I'm going to give you a free ride in my car today. Well, you can sit in anyway. For the message to get out, it needs a messenger, and you're that messenger. Yeah. A little bit better. Okay, we'll have a line at my car. Yeah, you're the messenger. And he says, man, this message is in your heart. It is on your mouth. When you grab onto the kingdom, he puts it there. And it's like, whoa, I got to tell. I got to share. I got to do something. And he's saying, I got opportunity around you. You are surrounded by opportunity. You are surrounded by pain. You are surrounded by people who hurt enough to change. Pay attention. Make the use of every opportunity. Message to get to the heart, it has to pass through the ears. God puts it on your lips so that it can touch a heart. I have to ask you, what's the message that comes out of your lips this week? Is it a message of victory? And is it a message of hope? We are surrounded by people in pain. I cannot imagine the pain in Cincinnati this morning where 15 people were injured and one was killed in a shooting in a nightclub. Imagine having your child, I guess I'm old. I mean, can you imagine going, your friend? I mean, all these people get shot. I don't know if it was terrorism or what, but it's messed up. And the Lord says, in the midst of that, bring a message. Bring a message of impact. There's an escape. You go to that person in pain and say, I have been transformed. Who do you know that needs an escape? Person of impact, Wendy Rizzo. Come on up. Impacted by the Lord. Impacted lately. You got this on? Glory. Now, you got to hold that up kind of close to your mouth. We were just talking last week. It was last week when Dana said, yeah, Wendy's a little shy around people.
Yes.
And she sent me a text yesterday or Friday?
Friday.
Pastor, I'm ready to give my testimony. All right. Look at that. Holy Ghost coming in there, bringing forth a message of impact. So, we were talking before we started. You've lived through some drama in your life. Yes. Pain in your life.
Yes, I have.
A little bit closer. There.
Okay. Yes, I have.
And things kind of got a little bit out of control when you were a teenager up until you were an adult. When did you grab onto the Lord?
Like about 2 years I started coming, but I accepted God as my Savior on Labor Day. I got baptized. And, well, that was the day that I accepted Him in my life.
And it was because things were going so great or because there was pain?
Because there was lots of pain in my life.
Pain.
Yes.
You know people that are hurting, need a message. So then Labor Day, that's been 6 months ago, mm-hmm. pretty much. And everything has just been just smooth sailing since then.
No. No, it has not.
Now, but anybody seen a change in this lady in the last 6 months? Oh, yeah. So then, but you've had some stuff just hit you recently. And you were calling out to God, and you were wanting Him to rescue you. Right?
To answer right there, when I was going through it, to show me that He was there with me, which He didn't. He did not answer my prayers right there and then, but I was lacking in faith, and I was mad at God.
Anybody ever been mad with God?
Yeah. Which I would say, I'm not mad, Lord, but then I said to myself, why are you fooling yourself? And God already knows what you're feeling. So I was like, yeah, well, I am mad, God. And things were coming at me left and right with my kids. And I didn't see any hope while I was going through it. I was going through it really bad. But then at the end of it, God was there. He showed me He was there, not when I wanted Him to be, but He was there when He knew it was the right time to be there. And things just got better.
Things are working.
Things are working, yes.
And so if you wanted God right there, but God took a step back and caused her to grab on as she's going through her challenges.
Yes.
You got a message. You talk about a message with impact. You can share anything with these folks here today. What will you tell?
Is it when you feel that your faith is lacking, to not let go of God and always grab Him harder? So you know that He's there with you, but just hold on to Him and just keep on moving forward even through the things you're going through, that, and know that God is always there with you.
When Amen. Well done, man. Well done. That's good, isn't it? Amen. Thank you, Wendy. All righty. Praise the Lord. Message comes with provision. Like that part. All right, Luke chapter 9, talking about sending out the 12. Bible says, and then He called His 12 disciples. He called them together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey. You know, there's a lot of pastors who take a lot of stuff with them these days. Take nothing for your journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money. And do not have two tunics apiece. God equips his messenger. Who's his messenger? You're his messenger. Amen? You bring the message of the kingdom, and you get kingdom provision. He sent his disciples out with power. There are those who would say that was a one-off. That was a one-time shot. That is not true. John chapter 14, verse 12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me, how many of you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today? He says, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. It's a connection. They will do even greater things. Remember, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. They will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. It wasn't a one-time shot. It's an ongoing shot. It is a message of the kingdom that comes with the power of the kingdom, and it comes with the provision of the kingdom. Can I get a witness on that? God calls us with that message to make impact. Impact for him. So, Jesus sent his disciples out with a kingdom message. Kingdom of God has come near. Jesus, come in the flesh, born of a virgin, worked miracles, led a sinless life, died on a cross for you. All that kingdom stuff, amen? He was crucified on the cross, buried for 3 days, and on the third day he what? Rose from the dead. That's good news, amen? See, the kingdom of God is high and wide and long and deep, and it is close enough for you to come near and grab onto. That is a message that will have impact, especially for those who are wrapped up in pain. Who do you know? Who do you know that's just hurting? Who do you know? Because I'll tell you what, you see that pain, you say, I used to be like that. I know what you're going through. How'd you get out? It's simple. Jesus is Lord. Amen? And he says, don't take anything with you. I got you. There's too many people worried about what they're taking with them and not worried about who's giving them what they got. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, thank you very much. Don't waste the message. He says, whatever house you enter, all right, I'm going to talk about that, let you know what he's talking about here. Whatever house you enter, stay there and don't depart from there. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake the very dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel everywhere they went. All right. This house thing. As people traveled in Israel, they would be welcomed in people's homes as in hospitality. It was their culture. The angels went into Sodom and Lot said, come, stay at my house. And that's what they did. But they were sent out with what? Power over demons, authority over demons, and power to heal. So they would get to a town, and they would start preaching the gospel. You come stay with me. Well, as soon as they started healing sick people and casting out demons, all of a sudden maybe some of the rich people are going, hey, you can come and stay with me. And then they would say, oh, we're going to go stay in Del Mar. You know, we're going to go stay in, I don't know, any of these other rich places. And the person in the city house goes, oh, okay. He's going, no, don't roll like that. He said, whoever opens their house to you, you stay there. Don't you worry about who's going to set you up or what they're going to do for you. I'm going to do for you. So you stay in that house until you leave. And when you leave, you say, thank you. He says, you bring the message of the kingdom. And there's going to be some people who say no. He says, you bring the message of the kingdom to that town, and then you move on. Because the kingdom of God is on the move. Can I get a witness on that? And he says, there's going to be some people that are going to say no. Our responsibility is not that they say no. Our responsibility is not how they answer. It is God's work that we participate in. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Nobody comes to the Son unless the Father draws him. So we got to try and find out what God is doing and join in that. Amen? Yeah. And so when they say no, move on. Find somebody that God is working on. But he says, when you leave that town that has rejected you, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony. When you're telling somebody Jesus is Lord, and they say, I'm not buying it, when they say, I don't think so, you don't twist their arm. But what you do need to say, realize this. Realize this. Kingdom of God has come near to you, and you're saying no to that. Today is March 26th, am I right? 26th. Some of you are hurting. There's going to be an opportunity if you grab onto the kingdom later on, and some of you will say no. There's going to be a time you appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to say, March 26th. You said no. I'm just reminding you. We got to make sure they understand. You don't got to be arrogant about it or anything like that. But when they say no, they need to know if they said no. When they say yes, the work begins. Because why? We develop people, discipleship, place to grow, time to study, understand, get this book, and get to work. Tracking with me? Matt Godday, come on up here.
Young man,
going to work. You, sir, are got to hold that mic up. You are going to go to Mexico on Friday, correct?
Yes.
And where are you going?
Michoacan.
And you're going to be at an orphanage?
Yeah, I'm going to help out in an orphanage.
I'm going to help you out there. Yeah, there we go. All right. Help out in an orphanage, and you are going to give your testimony. What's the crux of your testimony that you're going to bring on this missions trip?
My like whole testimony is pretty much standing firm in your faith.
Amen. Yeah. And you might be working with some kids.
Yeah, I'm going to be teaching at children's ministry.
And you got any clue what you're thinking you might, what message you might have for them?
I'm going to teach on the fruits of the Spirit.
Ooh, yeah. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. Papa Scott, why don't you come up here? We're going to pray for this young man. An anointing, but we know he's going to have provision, amen. We know he's going out with authority because we just read about that, amen. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for Matt. I thank you for his father. Thank you for your call on Matt's life that he would make an impact. We pray traveling mercies, Lord. We pray open doors and pray an anointing upon him as he brings a message to make an impact on these kids. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. That also means we need a sound man next Sunday, by the way. All righty. I'm not joking. Message comes at a cost. All righty. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You can grab on the kingdom. But Jesus has expectations. Salt of the earth, light of the world. We'll start with the salt. I have never, except for, you know that low sodium salt? I mean, I don't get that. What are they? It's just like half a salt shaker. You open it and say, hey, low sodium, man. There's only half there. No. That's not in my notes. No extra charge for that. I've never had salt that loses its saltiness, but our salt is processed different than they did back in the day. They would harvest salt from salt marshes, and there would be a great deal of impurities in the salt, minerals and that kind of stuff. So what could happen is that the salt would be leached out of the mixture, because the minerals and stuff wouldn't like dissolve in water and stuff. And so what you would end up with is this solution or this mixture from the marsh that was all dried out, and the salt was gone. and like magnesium and other kind of stuff like that. And it wouldn't be any good. And so they would throw it on the ground or throw it on the roof so it would kind of harden the dirt, make like a little road or a better roof. Salt, though, anybody love salt? I love salt, man. I'm so glad I don't have high blood pressure. I'll take a pill for it. Maybe I should drop the salt. But salt makes stuff taste good, and salt is a preservative. And he says that we are the light of the world, that light makes a way in the darkness. So the church comes, makes impact as a flavoring, as a preservative, and as a guide. There's people around you who are looking, they're rotten out in their lives. Their bodies are rotten out. Pray for our sister over here getting cancer. Not rotten out anymore. Amen? Healed by the hand of God. And the church brings that impact. The church is a guide in the midst of darkness and dimness. God calls us to make an impact in the lives of the people around us. He talks about cities on a hilltop. And they would build cities on a hilltop for protection. And they would normally or often use white limestone as a building supply. And so what happened is as they used this for their walls, sun would hit it, and it would shine. It would gleam in the day. And at night, when they lit up their lamps, they would glow. And so he says, you're supposed to be like these cities, always visible, that the church is to be a beacon for the lost, showing them how they can be found. Ask you again, who do you know? Who do you know that's totally lost? Because you know somebody. So many of you walked into this church lost, got found by God. Amen? God wants you to make an impact. Last thing I got for you today, 1 Peter 3:13 through 18. I got chunks of scripture today. Is that okay? Who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? Now, they were being harmed for doing good. But the way that Peter writes this is it is a lessening condition as you continue on. So, yeah, we're being harmed. Peter's writing to those that are being arrested, and their homes are being seized, their property's being seized, they're being beaten and killed. And he says, but who's going to harm you if you're going to do good? It's going to be a lessening chance as we go on. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Amen. Jesus Lord. Amen? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Make them lie on you. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. No matter what the cost, we need to be ready. Kingdom comes at great price, all you have. We see the cost of the kingdom in Syria, in Iraq, in Iran, in China, North Korea, Indonesia, all kinds of countries across the world, Saudi Arabia. You're a Christian, you're in danger. But live your life so that there would be people who would ask you, what is wrong with you? Where does all this hope come from? Where does all this joy come from? What makes you different? The answer is easy. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Amen? Peter talking to people who are being persecuted. Peter says, hey, you got to be able to pay the price for the impact. Jesus said, everyone will hate you because of me. But the one who stands firm, you, if you grab on, he will be saved. She will be saved. Those that kneel down and are beheaded in Syria, they meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the next instant. And I'm not thinking that they're thinking that that is a bad transaction. Amen? The slavery, all that stuff, the tragedies that go on, it's heinous. And he says, in the face of all that, you are to have a message for the hope that's in you. You live a life that causes people to ask, where does your hope come from? Answer simple. Jesus is Lord. Dave, you want to come up and play a little something for me here? Who do you know needs Jesus? Who do you know that is looking for answers? God calls you to make an impact. You could be saved 10 years, 10 months, or 10 days. He calls you to make an impact. Say, I don't know how. I'll tell you how. Message is not too difficult for you. It is in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's easy. Jesus is Lord. That message, that truth, will have an impact. The Bible tells us that it is God who saves. You can't do it. You can be part of it. Say, what do I do, Pastor? Ask God. It says, no one comes to the Son unless the Father draw him. God, who are you working on? Because there's pain all around us, and some of that pain just seals people off. You say, Lord, who are you working on? Get up in the morning. Lord, who are you working on? Send somebody my way today, and I'll be ready with an answer. Jesus is Lord. You heard from Wendy. Saved 6 months. Going through it. She's got a message. Amen? Matt got A. Grew up in the church. Got a message. All God's children got a message. We're describing the church. We're using the tree. Place to connect, place to grow, place to shine, and a place for impact. I grabbed this picture because all those things can be going on at the same time. You can have incredible impact. You can give your life to the Lord this morning and go tell somebody about Jesus tonight, and you can have impact. You start connecting with God, start growing in God. All these things happen in the kingdom. Amen? Maybe you're here this morning and you are saying, God is working on me. I prayed last night. I said, God, send somebody. Send somebody you're working on. And we had expected a bunch of kids, several kids from the skate park to come. Expected Richie to be here. He came last week struggling through pain. They're not here, but you're here. Lord, you send somebody our way that you're working on this morning. Maybe you come here this morning and you are hurting so bad. You know, oh, Jesus is Lord. That's it. That's what I need. It's the message that comes from heaven. It's the message that has impact. We end our time here this morning. We're in prayer. And God is speaking to you. And you're saying, I need an escape today. I want to let you know, the kingdom of God is near. And you can reach out and you can grab on. And you can say, Jesus is Lord. Nobody looking around at you this morning. You would say, I need heaven, I need the kingdom, I need a Savior this morning. And you would reach out and you would say, Jesus, you are Lord. You are my Lord. You are the Lord of my life. I'll pay whatever price it takes. All that I have, all that I am, I give to you, that you would give me new life and give me a position in the kingdom of God. Nobody looking around this morning, that's you. I just want you to just slide your hand up. I want to pray for you. Back here, over here, over here, over here. Anybody else? You can put your hand down if I saw you. Over here, yes. I'm going to pause for one moment. You're thinking, I got to do this. God's speaking to you this morning. And you say no. Shake the dust off my feet as a testimony. God's speaking to you this morning. You say no. You end up at the judgment seat of Christ. He says, March 26th, I spoke to your heart and offered you the kingdom of God. You said no. Some of you say yes, work begins. But if you say no, I got to let you know. Last moment. God's speaking to your heart. And you want to take that no and you want to turn it into a yes. I just want you to slide your hand up. Anybody else this morning? Didn't put your hand up before. Amen. Right over here. Anybody else? Hallelujah. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. We're going to stand and we are going to sing. And this altar, we're going to open. And it's a place to step into the kingdom of God. It is a place to make that declaration, Jesus, you are my Lord. It says, you declare me before men, I will declare you before my Father in heaven. No dust getting shaken off on you this morning. But you want to give your life to the Lord. As we sing this song, only you. I take my heart and I lay it down. I invite you to come up here. Kneel down and lay your heart down before the Lord and receive new life in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's sing. Holy.